Yud Nissen, Thursday the 10th of April, Rabbi David Tugendhat, the Oris and the Haggadah.
Shalom Abrocha, Rabbi Isai. Incredible pleasure and honor to come back to share some ideas with this morning Torah Way program. You know, you think that the Haggadah, after so many years, we've just had all the Torah that could possibly be on the Haggadah. And the Haggadah is one of the most commented on Sforim. Yet each year we find new Sforim, new Perushim on the Haggadah, new ideas on the Haggadah. So I'd like to share with you some of my favorite ideas, some B'siyata D'Shmaya new and some old. Start off with an idea regarding Karpas. So what's this whole idea about Karpas? The ultimate tease. You trick your body. You think your body, it has this hors d'oeuvre, it has this opener, this starter, a little piece of vegetable, and your digestive juices start working, and your body thinks, aha, so we're in for the meal, and then garnished. Garnished for a yovel. You have to wait until everybody has said everything. It's going to be hundreds of years until you actually eat anything. What's the idea behind karpas? So, of course, we know that there are numerous perushim on this. They say that it's to make the children ask questions, which is always a very unusual answer. It's to make somebody ask questions. What does that mean, to make somebody ask questions? I heard from Rav Leuchter, the famous Mashkiach in Yerushalayim, Talmudic of Revolva. He explains, imagine you came home one day, and you saw that everybody was in your house, and they were all wearing goggles and a snorkel. And everyone was just business as usual, making a cup of tea. And everyone was just wearing goggles and a snorkel. You think, whoa, there's something very surreal going on over here. And everyone's business as usual. Completely crazy. You think there's something which is out of the Seder. So that's pshat, to make people ask questions. Make people ask questions means that tonight was a night of Gilui Shechina. Tonight was a night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael touched. Tonight was a night when things which people hadn't understood for hundreds of years, suddenly it all made sense. It was something which was completely out of the usual system, the usual Mareches HaTeva. So to make people ask questions means people to say, there's something strange going on tonight. So we see there's something different. That's how he explains what it means to make the children ask questions. We know that Alexander Rebbe, he has a pshat, why dafka a vegetable? He says vegetable is the story of our lives. Why is a vegetable the story of the life of Klal Yisrael? A vegetable, you stick it in the ground, it starts to decompose, it's covered with mud, you think it's all over. And then suddenly it starts sprouting, delicious and nutritious, and you have your vegetable over here. This was the story of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. We have a vegetable because Klal Yisrael was so downtrodden and they were covered in Tumas Mitzrayim. And yet, after all this, after all these years, suddenly things got better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed them from Klal Yisrael. So this is the second reason, the reason of the Alexander Rebbe, why we don't have a vegetable now. But I'd like to suggest B'siyata D'Shmaya, another idea behind Karpas. There's a Rabbeinu Bachai in Parashas Shemois. And Rabbeinu Bachai points out that before it gets better, it often gets worse. Look at Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. There they were, back-breaking labor. And then comes along their savior, Moshe Rabbeinu. We have Moshiach now. Moshe Rabbeinu had arrived and everything was going to be fine. He had the special code word, Pokoi Pokadati. The Zakenim said, he is our man. Everything is going to get better. And he strides into the palace of Pharaoh. And he says, the time has come, Shlach Ami, the time has come to redeem Klal Yisrael. And Pharaoh says, who are you? You think you're going to come in, you're going to stride in, and you're going to tell me to release Klal Yisrael? Get lost. Get out of here. And not only that, Tichbad Ha'avoido. Until now, I was so kind to you. True, back-breaking labor. Yes, okay, you're right. Yeah, true, children don't in the Nile, I know. But you got your straw, and now you're not even going to get your straw. You have to have the same quota of building materials that you are going to be having to make, and yet this time you have to hunt for your own straw. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we thought it was going to get better. Our Mashiach had arrived. And it gets worse. How can Hashem do this to us? Imagine what the people would have been thinking. Explains Rabbeinu Bachai that this is the greatest test of a person's emunah. When the person who you have invested your faith in, he comes and he can't help you. Oh, then ein lanu al milismeich el avinu shav shamayim. Then we know there's only the Rabbeinu Shleilom who can help us. This is the greatest test of faith. We see this time and time again. A person, he needs money. He needs a financial yeshua. But he knows he's got great Uncle Jaime in New York. And great Uncle Jaime is coming to England soon. He's going to be able to ask him. Great Uncle Jaime is a muffliger. He's unbelievable. He's such a tremendous gavir. And they say he's so kind-hearted. Great Uncle Jaime is coming to town. He's going to help me out. And you anticipate the day, and great Uncle Jaime is here, and you've been rehearsing in your mind how exactly you're going to pitch it to him, and you're going to tell him how the family is so important to you, and how you feel such a sense of kindred with it. You haven't spoken to him ever, but you feel mummish so close to him, and it's so important, the things that you're involved in. And great Uncle Jaime comes, he listens to you, he says, wow, that's really, really sounds so beautiful, so important. And he writes out a check for £18, and you feel so deflated. Because he was the Mashiach you were holding out for this Yeshua, and came up garnished. Oy vavoy. Until now you'd put your faith in great Uncle Jaime. Now who can you put your faith in? Only al Avinu Shabashamayim, only on the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's true with all different Yeshuas, whether financial, medical, all different Yeshuas, Hashem Yerachim, Alam Abayis Yisrael. Sometimes we're brought to the point when we realize only Hashem Yerachim, Alam Abayis Yisrael, and there's nobody else. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, before it got better, it got worse, because Klal Yisrael needed that quintessential Nisoyon, that even the person who they thought would bring the Yeshua, everything goes pear-shaped, and he doesn't manage to bring the Yeshua. When they hang on tight, when they hold on in there, when they remember, we only have the Rabbeinu Shleilom, not even the Shluchim anymore, we only have the Rabbeinu Shleilom, that is when the Yeshua comes. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, that's pshat, in the Pasuk in Tehillim Kuflamad, Nafshi Lashem Mishoymerim Laboiker. Shomerim laboiker. Our heart, our soul is holding out for Hashem like those who hold out for the dawn. And it then sounds so poetic. Those who hold out for the dawn. But we know there's no such thing as being poetic. Everything in Torah is Meloshon Hayro. There's a limud, there's a lesson. Why does David HaMelech say, we hold out for the dawn? We hold out for the dawn. You know why? Because even after you hold out for the dawn, says Rabbeinu Bachai, you then have to still hold out for the dawn again. The dawn means the ge'ula. You hold out for the ge'ula, and then, garnished. In fact, it gets worse. So what are Klal Yisrael supposed to do? Pick ourselves up, wipe ourselves down, shomrim laboiker. We still hold on. We still hold on for the ge'ula. Even though everything seems to have gone wrong, it seems counterintuitive, Hashem is ever going to help us. No, we know He will. We know that He will. And therefore we hold on tight, shomrim laboiker, and we wait for that dawn. Efsha, you could say, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the Haggadah. We know, everybody asked, why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned in the Haggadah?
Once.
So it's mentioned once, Agav. Yeah, true, mentioned once, Agav. But you think, he was the man. He was the one, he was the Goyel. And yet his name's not mentioned. Efsha, it could be, based on this Rabbeinu Bachai, because true, we know through the whole of the Parshias in Shemais, we know he was the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu used. But we know at the end of the day, we cannot put our faith in a person, we put our faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when he came, it didn't get better, it got worse, because it's only, if we hold on, and we know that it's only the Ribbono Shel Olam that can help us. So therefore, maybe that's the reason his name's not mentioned. Possibly, this is something we can think about during Karpas. Karpas is the paradigm false start. It seems as though you're about to start the meal. And the whole idea of an hors d'oeuvre is that your body, physiologically, it thinks, I'm about to start eating now, and the digestive juices start flowing, and then nothing. Nothing at all. Right? For ages and ages and ages, till you get to that delicious piece of matzah. That's it. Yeah? So it could be that this is an idea of a false start. The idea of a false start to remind us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Geula, there's often a false start. Why is there a false start? This is the test to remind us that at the end of the day, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who can help us. And after the greatest tests of our faith, we have further tests of faith. And we still have to hold tight. And could be that's why there is this something we can think about during this full start of Karpas. Next Ha'ara. Second Ha'ara. So, why is it that in Yachatz we break the middle matzah? I understand we break a matzah. Why do we break a matzah? Just like an Oni, he has a bit now, he saves some for later. What's wrong with the top matzah or the bottom matzah? Why is it Dafka the middle matzah? So I heard the pshat once, Moyudik of pshat, we know that that the matzahs correspond to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. It's imperative that we break the middle matzah, because this is the matzah which corresponds to Yitzchok Avinu. What's Yitzchok Avinu got to do with a broken matzah? So there's Gemara in Shabbos stuff, Peites Omid Beis. And the Osid Lovoy in the future, Yemen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to Avram, Bonecho Chotu Li, your children are doing Averus. What should I do? Omar Lefonov. Avram will say, Rebbeinu Shleilom, Yemocho Al Kedusha Shemecho, you're right. I've got no taina, I've got no teretz. I've got no answer, you're right. If they don't deserve to exist, then maybe they shouldn't exist. Omar Leila Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Avram here wasn't able to be the Sanegoria Shel Klal Yisrael. He speaks to Yaakov, Davalei Tzargil Al Bonim. Yaakov understands he didn't have it so easy with his children either. Efter the way Rachmi Olayu, maybe he will be able to ask for mercy. Omar Leibonecho Chotu. Omar Lefon of Rebbeinu Shalom. You're right. I also don't have an answer. Yemochval Kedush Shemecho. Omar, Kedush Baruch Hu says, Leibasavi Tam Leibdar the Kietza. The Zeda and the Einikel, neither of them are able to help Klal Yisrael over here. Omar Leili Yitzchok Bonecho Chotu Li. Famous Gemara, Hashem says to Yitzchok, your children have sinned. Omar Lefon of Rebbeinu Shalom. Bonai, Veloi Bonecho. My sins are not yours. My children and not your children. But surely you call them B'ni B'chayri. And now you're saying they're my children and they're not your children. You're Tata as well. You're also Avinu Shabashomayim. And he says, and anyway, how much are they sinning? How many years does a person live already? The core, Shleis of Shalodom, Shivim Shona, 70 years. Take away 20 where they don't get punished. B'dei Shomayim, you've got 50 years left. Yeah, half of that is night. You've got 25 years left. Take away half of that, 12 and a half, because they're davening, they're eating, they're taking care of their bodily needs. All you've got is Tarat Yisrael Palka, 12 and a half years, Rabbeinu Shalom. Imato Sevel at Eskulom Mutov. If you take them on your account, 12 and a half years between friends. If you take them, then fantastic. And if not, Palgo Olai or Palgo Olecho. You take half and I'll take half. Shabbos pay tes. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu sounds over here like the Yitzchok Avinu sounds, you know, he's handling with HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. He sounds like somebody who's dealing very, very cleverly. Any car dealers here? Any car dealers here? He sounds like one of these car dealers, you know? Sounds like, yeah, well, really, it's good. We'll take up a bit of money for this. Yeah, it's only got three tires. Yeah, but the Maisa, you know, between friends. And he's making a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what's pshat that Yitzchok Avinu is doing this? The Pachad Yitzchok, Rabbi Yitzchok Hutna, on Purim, brings Rabbi Yitzchok Glazer, and Rabbi Yitzchok Glazer explains this Gemara in Shabbos, using Gemara in Brochas, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where it says, Rav Alexandri, when he would daven, at the end of his tefillah, he'd say, Rebbein Hoilomim, Master of the Worlds, Golib Yodullah Fanecho, you know, Sheretzoinenu Lasik Sheretzoinecho. We all want to be Tzadikim Gemurim. We all want to serve you properly. So in that case, what's stopping us? So'er shabi'isa, the yeast and the dough, b'shubad malchias, and the nations of the world to enslave us. Yihi rotzin nufanecho, shetzatzileinu miyodom, v'noshiv las yitzchuk v'tzenach b'lev v'sholim. What are the two things that stop me from being the biggest tzaddik in the world? My explains, Rabbi Yitzchok Glazer, my inner yetzahara, which is the so'er shabi'isa, the yeast in the dough, and my external Yetzirah, which is the Shibud Malchiyos, the nations of the world, who are trying to tear me away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're trying to influence me, they're trying to stop me with their various different ways from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the two things that stop every yid from being the best yid they can be. The Sur Shavis, the yeast in the dough, which means the inner Yetzirah, and the Shibud Malchus, the nations of the world, which is the external Yetzirah. These are the things which stop us from being the greatest people that we can be. Yitzchok Avinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that Klal Yisrael are doing Averis? You know why? Pal Golech or Pal Golai? Half your fault, Kaviyochel, and half my fault. Why is it half your fault and half my fault? Because who created the Yetzirah? Not me. That was you, Ribbono Shel Olam. You are the one who created the Yetzirah, the inner Yetzirah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's be honest over here. You're the one who created the Yetzirah, the inner Yetzirah. Who created the Shibud Malchus, the nations of the world's animosity towards Klal Yisrael? Well, Esav. That is down to Esav. Esav is considered the Tsar. He's considered the head, the Rosh of the Umas Ha'ilam, who are trying to detach Klal Yisrael from Avinu Shabashalayim. Who created Esav? Who created Esav? It was me, says Yitzchak Avinu. I am the father of Esav Arosha. I am responsible. Pal Golai, Pal Golecha. I'll take half, you take half. You know why? Because Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to share joint responsibility. If the Gemara wouldn't say such a thing, we'd never be able to say such a thing. But the Gemara tells us that's what was going on over here. Yitzchak Avinu, he is the Sanhedrin Shel Klal Yisrael, the original, before Levi Yitzchak Obadichov came on the scene. He was the original Sanhedrin. He was the one who stood up for Klal Yisrael. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, please. Klal Yisrael really want to do the right thing. Deep down, we're all Tzadikim Gemurim. It's just the inner Yetzirah, which Ribbono Shel Olam made, and it's the external Yetzirah, the forces of Esav HaRosha in the world. I'll take half and you take half. We'll share joint responsibility, and because of that, Lasid Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save Klal Yisrael. Yitzchok is the one who says, I'll take half and you take half. The middle matzah corresponds to Yitzchok. The middle matzah, which corresponds to Yitzchok, we split it in half. We're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam, you have redeemed us then, and we want you to redeem us again. A second time we want you to bring the Gula. We're not such big tzaddikim. Ribbono Shel Olam, remember Yitzchok Avinu. Remember, he said he'll take half and you take half, because really we all want to do the right thing. It's only the internal Yetzirah and the external Yetzirah which is stopping us. There's also Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer says that they had Dam Mila and Dam Korban Pesach. Dam Mila symbolizes the inner Yetzirah. We're all trying to overcome the various inner tivers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted within us. The Dam Pesach, the Korban Pesach, was the deity of the Egyptians. They worshipped the sheep. And therefore, this symbolizes the external Yetzirah, and we needed the dam of both of these things in order to bring a Geula. That was the second point. So we had Karpas, we had Yachatz. Next point, I'd like to share with you a beautiful idea at the end of Vehisha Omdo. Vehisha Omdo, what does it mean, Vehisha Omdo? This stood for us. So the Poshup Shat, Baruch Shem Avtachot Li Yisrael, is going on the previous kapitel in the Haggadah, where we are told, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bris, a covenant, a pact, with Klal Yisrael, bris bein habesorim, with Avraham Avinu. He said, I will always be with you. And this is the Vehi Sha'omdo. This is the thing which has stood up for us, even though B'chol Dor V'Dor, they are Emdim Oleinu L'Chaloseinu, they try, I'm embarrassed to say it, they try and make us eat challah, and Hashem matzil leinu miyodan, and Hashem matzil. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. So lemaisa, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu matzil leinu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu saves us miyodom from their hands. Could have just said, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu matzil leinu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu saves us. Why does it say miyodom from their hands? So heard the pshat once. That even if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is already in the grip of the enemy has already got us in his hands. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel. We shouldn't give up hope. We shouldn't have years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can still save us. Even Miyodom, when we're already in their clutches. They're unbelievable stories. I read a story recently. There were people who were in the gas chambers, and they ran out of gas. They ran out of gas. Halavai should have happened to the other 6 million. Ribbono Shel Olam. But we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel. Even if a person is already in the clutches of the enemy, they even miyodom from their hands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take us away and redeem us. Just like we find with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, they brought him in, they're ready to execute him. All of a sudden, his neck turned to marble, and he was able to escape, and he was able to survive. Marvelous. Shkayach. I have to remember that one for future times. Yeah? Marvelous. So, Moshe Rabbeinu... Moshe Rabbeinu was saved miyodom. He was already in their clutches. But I saw another beautiful pshat in the Sefer Yunei Chaim by Golders Green's own, Reb Chaim Shmal Shlitzer. Meyredik pshat. Beautiful pshat. He says, V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom. Miyodom can actually mean through their hands. It's miyodom. It's from their very own hands that the geula can come. He says like this, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Geula, he's always marked him the Refuah Maka. Why does he do that? Why is it that he already brings the antidote before he brings the dangerous situation to show that he was really in control all along? He is the one who's been in control all along. And that being the case, he already ironically sets up the Yeshua from the actual Einish or from the actual Maka. Because he is the one who's in absolute control. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu, he saves us, miyodom, he orchestrates it, it's through the hands of our enemies, who brought up Moshe Rabbeinu, and so to speak, gave him great insights in how to be a leader. Pharaoh, who was the one who hosted Esther HaMalka, who would save the Jewish people? Achashverosh. And he brings a Medrash, the Medrash says that, there will be a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael, they're being over Avodah Zarah, time to destroy them. And the only person in this other Maimah Chazal, the only person who can save them, you know who it is? It's Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu, she says, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I also had to put up with a Tzorah, with a co-wife. Rabbeinu Shlomo, I know that the Bnei Yisrael are serving idols as well as you, and as though they have a second wife, I also had to put up with a co-wife. Where did we get this idea that Yaakov had two wives? Because of Lavan. Lavan tried to destroy us. Lavan tried to pull a fast one. Lavan, when Yaakov Avinu wanted to marry Rachel, he put in there, he slipped Leia in there. Because of this, which seemed like it was a bad thing, because of this is the whole Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fair point, Rachel Imenu. Fair point, you're saying good. You put up with a co-wife, okay. So I see this will be another reason to save Klal Yisrael. What seems to be things that are actually against us, what seems to be from the Seinim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already being Makdim Refuah Lamaka. He is saving us, miyodom, from their own hands, through their own hands. My Zayda, Zichreina Levracha, his name was Srulcha Tugentaft. Srulcha Yisrael, Yisrael David HaKoyen Tugentaft, came from Galicia, and he lived in Leipzig. And he was a businessman. And Reb Srulcha, there was a German who owed him money. And he asked him for the money, he didn't pay up. He asked him again, he didn't pay up. So what does a Yekka do when there's someone who doesn't pay you money? So he took him to court. It happened to be that the person who owed him money was an SS officer. And the court, which was obviously very much in favour of the SS and against the Jews, the court ruled in favour of this Nazi. And more than that, they said, how can you have the audacity to bring this fine, upstanding officer, this member of the SS, how do you have the audacity to even bring him over here, to bring him to trial, you disgraceful Jew? So of course, they let the Nazi off, and they made Maizeda, Zichron Levracha, they made him pay all of the fees. And Maizeda went home that night, and he was very, very scared, because he actually had a friend who the Nazis took him to prison, and a week later, they knocked on his wife's door with a vase, and the vase was full of ashes. And they said, we're so sorry, madam, your husband mysteriously died when he was in prison, and here are his remains. And my Zayd Zichron Levracha was very worried that would happen to him next. So he had to flee overnight to Czechoslovakia. And my father, Zichron Levracha, had his bar mitzvah, he had to go to Czechoslovakia over there for Shabbos, because that's where his father was hiding, and that's where he had his bar mitzvah. And then he managed to flee to England, and there was a whole maisa how he managed to get to England. He needed a permanent visa, somebody lent him the money. Unbelievable story how he came to England in 1939. It was only because of that Nazi that I'm here today. If he wouldn't have won this court case and my Zayda's life would not have been in such tremendous danger, he'd have said, ah, Baruch Hashem, everything is fine. Life goes on as usual in Leipzig, Germany. And would have perished together with the rest of his family. The whole reason that Baruch Hashem, many of his descendants are here today, the whole reason is because of this Nazi who owed him money. V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom, from their own hands. From their own hands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Yeshua. That's a pshat. V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom. This is the pshat in the Yunei Chaim. I've been told that this, my grandfather was actually on the front page of Der Stürmer Nazi propaganda magazine. Yeah, this is not the Mishpocha magazine. You don't want to be the front page of the Stürmer. Yeah, very, very. It's not a segula for Arichas Yomim to be on the front page of the Stürmer. And it's only because of that, the Baruch Hashem, that I'm Basiat Deshmaya, I'm here today. We'll do one more idea. Towards the end of the Seder, we have this whole piyut vayehi b'chatzi alaylo, right? Bleary eyed, hanging on, and trying to stay awake. And uvechein vayehi b'chatzi alaylo, and it wasn't midnight. And ozroiv nisim ifleso balaylo, right? You have of old performed many, many nisim at night. And what are the nisim that were performed at night? Avram defeated the four kings. Avimelech was judged for kidnapping Sarah. Lavan was warned in the street not to hurt Yaakov. Yaakov defeated the Malach Shel Esav. The Egyptian Bechayrim died and their wealth was lost. Sisera's army was destroyed. Sancheiriv and his armies died. Nebuchadnezzar's statue fell. Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Belshazzar was killed. All of these things, Ahasuerus' sleep was disturbed. All of these things happened. Vayi b'chatzi alaylo. Amazing coincidence. It always happened to be at b'chatzi alaylo. What is this? What is this obsession that it has to be b'chatzi alaylo? So what's pshat? I heard a meiridik pshat. B'shem Ramesh Shapira from Yerushalayim Azoy. We know in Revi, in Parshas Bo, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Egyptians, Kacha tzais halaylo, at approximately at midnight, you will all be destroyed, the firstborn will be killed. Approximately midnight? Moshe Rabbeinu is not Yekish, right? Right? And it happened at exact midnight. So why does he have to say, Kacha tzais halaylo? So Rashi tells us, that Shema Yitu Itzdagnine Pharaoh, maybe Pharaoh's astronomers would make a mistake. And they'd say, aha, look at this, midnight has come, and everybody's still fine. Ah, Moshe is a badoy, Moshe is a liar, na 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 na. That's what they're going to do. And therefore he said, Kachatzoi Sailaila at approximately midnight. Okay, so everybody asked the famous Kasha, that, you know what, let them make a mistake. They'll make a mistake. How much are they going to mistake you, Reddy? They'll be dancing around going, na, 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 and they'll all die. Yeah? They'll make a little mistake. Okay? And so fine, they make a little mistake, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, actually, you are wrong. Now is midnight. Actually, I'm by Ba'i Ba'chatzi Alayla. Gendit. Why is it that it would have been so terrible? So the normal answer that we're given for this is for Chil Hashem, even for a moment, we have to make sure to avoid Rachman al Islam and Ichil Hashem even for an instant. And therefore he said, Kachatzai Sainailo, Shema Yitu, it's Tagnine Faru, lest his people make a mistake. In a nutshell, Ramesh Shapira explains Azoy. If you take something and you try and find the middle point of that thing, you actually will not be able to find the middle point. Because there is no point which is actually called the middle. There is either the first half, or there is the second half. The middle is a concept, rather than a physical place. It's a concept. It's an infinitesimal point. Because if I have something which is a meter long, yeah, do I have a spot that is exactly the middle of it? I don't. I've either got the first half, or I've got the second half. If I draw with a pencil at 50 centimeters, yeah, if I draw with a pencil, and that's exactly in the middle, but then I could take a magnifying glass, and I'd be able to split that as well. And I take a microscope, I'd be able to split that as well. To an atomic level, and split that as well. The middle doesn't exist in physical reality. It's a concept. There is no place which is called the middle. There's the first half and there's the second half. Lest Pharaoh's astronomers make a mistake and they say, Moshe, you're a faker. You know what mistake they're going to make? Moshe, there's no such thing as the middle. You're having us on. You're having a laugh over here. Their mistake isn't that they're looking at their clock. Their mistake is as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu says at that exact point, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill your firstborn. I'll say, Moshe, that can't be a message from Hashem. Because there is no point which is exactly the middle. There's either the first half or the second half. So that's why he said kachatzos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is lamala min ateva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a connection with Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is also above nature. So he took us out at a time which doesn't even exist, a time which is beyond the time, because the whole hanhaga of Klal Yisrael is lamala min ateva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always brings his geula at that exact middle point, which doesn't actually exist in the physical world that we know. Because this is the hanhoga of Klal Yisrael. We've always been lemala min ateva. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that we've already seen so much karpas, we've already seen so many full starts to the geula, that we should continue to have emunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, pal golai, to realize we all really are tzoneinu lasis tzonavinu shabashamayim. He should save us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom, we should see that it comes through the hands, and vayi b'chatzi alayla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take us lamala min ateva, v'yashmi'enu barachim of sheinis, and he should bring the geula with Mashiach Tzidkenu, m'hev yomein, amen.
Bye, sir.